Kyle, what a lovely show that was.
Lovely show.
That was really Absolutely. Fun. I like it when it's like a lot of little news. Yeah. You know? It's like, this is a lot, but it's...
And you kind of took on my role as being the hype person this episode.
Right?
You had a lot of things that you were hyping up and
I'm just excited about it. And honestly, I genuinely believe I found the breadcrumb trail that leads to the Square Enix acquisition.
Oh, no, that is a very, very cool find.
Yeah.
Introspection? No, that's not what I'm looking for. No, what is
the... we put the tinfoil hat on. It's a little theory I got.
I don't know what word I'm trying to think of, but yeah. No, it's cool.
Yeah. Because to me, again, you got to think about it, man. Capcom's doing great. They have no need for anything. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, their service games are actually doing really good. You take a look at, like, the rumor was Konami. Why would you want them for just 2 IP, no matter how much you love them?
I love how you just only say 2. There's 3.
What's the third one?
Silent Hill.
There has not been a good Silent Hill.
They also have the rights to Ninja Turtles.
Do they really?
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe then
I'm pretty sure they do.
If they have the rights to the Ninja Turtle games, that's huge. I think only certain ones. I don't think the whole kit and caboodle. Look at that. I think Nintendo, or sorry, Nickelodeon owns that. Like, they own the Ninja Turtles.
But yeah, the Cowabunga collection is the collection of the Konami TMNT games.
I'm not purchasing this company for $3 billion for the NES versions. No matter how
amazing. Why not? Amazing. What are you talking about?
But then, like, it just, like, the only road possible if we're buying a company in Japan is, well, like, Tecmo Koei, definitely you could do that. You could get Team Ninja on there, which would be probably a relatively all right pickup, considering. But, like, you know, get too many teams there. But you get a lot of teams with Square. You get RPGs with Square. You get Transmedia with Square, so your movies, TV, manga, and anime.
Mm-hmm.
You could definitely integrate that with Crunchyroll and PlayStation Productions. You split up the Western teams with the Japanese teams. You give both teams the communications they need now that they would be probably in the PlayStation studios for realsies now. And then PlayStation and Square have always had such a great relationship for decades now. So knowing that Square Enix has management issues, that they can't do games of service well or live service games well, and some of the games have been rather hit or miss lately, it definitely makes sense that PlayStation would be interested in picking them up, and maybe they would be interested in being bought.
Possibly.
Did you listen to goddamn word I just said?
No.
All right, let's get this question in from Green Gorilla Gamer, who writes, okay, this was a DM, by the way. And I go, oh, yeah, I'll put it on a Patreon. I don't know who's a Patreon and who not. And he's like, oh, I'm not a Patreon. I was like, okay, whatever. I'm going to put it for free then. I'm going to help you out. And I'm going to read this question out loud. So I don't know if there's anything embarrassing or whatever, but here it is. Or that he admitted that he killed a man in Tucson. I don't know.
Whew.
Escalation. I wanted to message you here because it kind of separate a bit from everyone else. I also wasn't sure if I should ask you or Kyle, but I was wondering if maybe I could pick your brain about some podcasting knowledge. I've spent months researching stuff, but honestly, it's kind of hard to come across. And with how much I've come to love the podcast, how great you guys sound, I figure who better to ask? I mean, worst case is you could say no, right? And then you laugh out loud, and I said, no.
How dare you try to take over what we're trying to take over?
Yeah, this is our thing.
We're the only ones allowed to talk into microphones.
This is our spot already. I had someone going, oh, I want to do a PlayStation podcast, but you know, you guys are already doing it. I was just like, just do it. He's like, what if I hurt you guys? I'm like, you're not going to hurt me. Come on.
Just do it.
Come on, just do it. It's fine. More people in it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, if you're interested in doing a podcast or any sort of content thing, just do it. And do it. If you have the passion for it, just do it. Like, it is generally fun. I enjoy sitting down here every single week with you, Joe, and just talking about the thing that I love the most, and that is PlayStation and video games. Like, if Misa very angry right now. it is a passion thing for me that I love and enjoy doing. And yes, there is a barrier of entry when it comes to the tech side of things, but right out of the gate, the most important thing that I could say is just do it.
Yeah.
You know, get a blue snowball mic, which is what I had for a year.
Yep.
And it worked fine. It did the job that it needed to do.
Yeah. Understand that everybody has their own growth. You have your own stage. And I know this sounds so cliche, but everybody grows differently. You're going to find people that are in your sphere, and you guys are going to, whether you're networking like me and Sean did, or whether you're partnering like me and Kyle do, you know, it's everybody finds their own path. Sometimes it's slower than others. Sometimes, and here's a realization, sometimes it's way faster than others, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you got to be okay with the failure. You got to be okay with losing it. Because, like, chances are, like, even the podcast we do, like, we're not the biggest PlayStation podcast, don't claim to be, and don't care to be. We just want to make the best show that we know how to make, and I feel like we do each and every week. Mm-hmm. But, like, for me, just understand that your first thing's going to fail, like 9 times out of 10. I know this is weird advice. Chances are you're here to make mistakes.
Yeah, there will be podcast episodes that the recording has messed up. And you'll have to redo it, or it'll take a long time to edit.
Will your soul die when those things happen?
Every time.
Every time.
My favorite little anecdote thing about that is, I forget, I think it was maybe last year, maybe 2 years ago, we recorded a show, an hour or two goes by, I go up to bed, and as soon as I go up to my room and I lay my head on the pillow, I get a text from you, Joe, saying, "Kyle, the recording fucked up. Can we redo it right now?" And I walked all the way down from upstairs in my room all the way and sat down and did it all over again. And it was a very late night. I think I had a sub the next day or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Shit happens. And you just need to be prepared for that and not beat yourself up over it, because technology is not fail safe.
Yeah.
Shit will happen.
Yeah. For me, shit will break. You're here to learn. Just learn. And be thirsty for that knowledge. Also go in thinking like, not to say like go in thinking your shit's garbage, but go into thinking like, this is the content that I know I can make. This is the best content I make, but how can I improve it? Be real with yourself. Like, how can you improve it? And then when you find that one area, make it your business to get better. So like for me, I knew personally that we could sound better. And so I made it a personal mission to sound better, because I know like when the pandemic happened, it was an opportunity for us to sound better than Beyond. And when I hear people going like, yeah, you sound as good as or better than, I'm like, wow, that's huge, because we need it. We operate on a shoestring budget compared to the other bigger sites, and we need to make that count, right? So,
sure.
You know, it's about finding, it's also about finding your niche, finding the thing you want to do. The one thing I would suggest to you is niche down, which means find the thing that you're knowledgeable on, but more importantly, passionate. Passion sells. I've seen some people that are some of the dumbest goddamn idiots I've seen on this platform. They're hugely successful. Why? It's not because they're brains. It's not because they know more. It's because they're passionate, and that bleeds through. If you're passionate on something, you're going to find an audience for it. So that is why I created the Trophy Room, because I talked about all things games. It was not working. It was growing really slow because you're not finding the audience. You're trying to cast this huge net of folks that don't really exist. While when we created the Trophy Room, it's like, okay, this is the podcast we want to make. We want to cover PlayStation. And then our attitudes, our personas, and our personalities, we cast that net. And that's how we actually get people that are like-minded in us and thinking and all that jazz. So, cast a small net and make mistakes, first and foremost.
I will say just a thing that I didn't know when I did my own podcast all on my own, Best Friends Talk Funny, for 50 episodes, whatever. before, I was just like, oh, yeah, I just record the show and then put it on iTunes or something.
Nope.
Not exactly how it works. So you're going to have to find a podcasting hosting service of some kind. I believe there are some that are free. I think the one that I use for that one is one called Pinecast. It was as little as $5 a month. It fit what I needed. Don't break the bank as well. Like, you don't have to go get the best equipment right out of the gate. You don't have to get like the $50 a month podcast hosting service or whatever it is. Get what fits your budget. Tinker around. Eventually down the line, if you want to upgrade, you can upgrade. But at the end of the day, most important thing is you and the stuff that you are saying and talking about. That is the most important thing.
Yep.
Being yourself, love and passion pouring out. End of the day, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And make sure if you're doing YouTube, I don't usually do scripts. I do outlines. So also, it's all about tasks, like what works for you. So if you're about making a YouTube channel, a lot of people do the news, man. And that news is quick. You're talking 24-hour. That's how long that things last, or maybe longer, depending on how slow the Newsweek is. Or maybe you don't get anything because the Newsweek's that slow. You're dependent on an algorithm that doesn't exist. You're literally going off luck. So like if you're talking about all things games, which is great, like we do this week, or sorry, we do every week. We talk about all things PlayStation. Understand, we're going off luck. Sometimes there's not the major news story, and that hurts. But we niche down to such a specific audience, and we're legitimately good at what we do, that people tune in every week. So for me to you, I would say find content. If you're doing YouTube, that's evergreen content, meaning like deep dives on things, top 10 lists, all that type of stuff. It's going to probably net you the outcome you want. Also, why are you doing it? If you're doing it to be PewDiePie famous, I would tell you not to do it because it's not going to happen. Because I was that real with myself. I'm like, I'm not the next PewDiePie, and I don't want to be. Not going to ever have a million subscribers. Never going to have 100,000 subscribers. I'm just trying to be who I am, and I'm very comfortable with that. So if you want to do it because you want to get a job in this industry, you can do that. You could be a writer. You can show how you're good at social media or whatever, or be a good editor. You could show your qualities there and sell them well. And you could do that. If you genuinely just want to do it for fun, just do it for fun. Do what feels right. Would be my mantra. But it's really like my honest God is like, I'm being real with you. It's just like, understand that, like, man, it's hard. It's all really hard work. Like this week I got up at five o'clock in the morning. I went to work for 8 hours a day, and then I did an interview, and then I did another interview with Nate. Then I did the show notes, and then we recorded today. And now I know I'm going to be here till 2 o'clock in the morning, making the thumbnail and putting the show out. But I love doing it so much, and that's why I do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And on that note as well, don't burn yourself out too quickly.
Yes.
Pace yourself. Don't put hard deadlines on things, especially starting out. Don't be like, I'm going to record on Tuesday and I'm going to get it out an hour or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. I burnt myself out very quickly doing my own thing on my own show, on top of doing the Trophy Room, on top of doing 6-1 Indie stuff before it was 6-1 Indie stuff. I was doing 3 shows a week, and that's 3 nights a week that I was recording something. And then with the show I was doing all my own, then it took me like 3 hours to edit the podcast, the audio, because I was learning how to do it for the first time. And it takes that learning curve is kind of, yep. It was rough for me. People learn differently, but running into like audio issues of like audio drift where my computer is not the same specs as my guest computer, at some point during the recording, 30 minutes in, they're ahead of like by milliseconds. And then eventually at the end of the recording, they're ahead by a full second or two. And trying to find where it went off, like, it's rough.
Rough. Yeah, so make sure everybody's...
Give yourself time to do the things you need to do.
I think it's make sure everybody's recording at 4,800 hertz or something like that, or 4,400 hertz.
Yeah, something that I did not learn until very late to the game.
Yeah, and we usually just assume because it's like, that's usually... Exactly. It's set to 44 anyway. Yeah. But like, and now for like the brass tack. So again, go in low expectations, realistic outcomes. So, like, my goal when I first started was to get 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. I got that, and I was like, this is what I can show to a company. And then it grew more of, like, let me grow this other thing. Let me show to a company I know how to work social media. Let me show a company how I know how to work, you know, talking into the mic and talking to people and making something out of nothing. And that's why I have the job I have today. That's why, you know, I may have roles outside because of that. So, that type of stuff. So again, go in it with the right expectations. And to me, I fell in love doing this, and that's why I stick around. That's why every interview I'm like, I want this job, but the trophy room is important to me, and I will not take this job if you tell me to stop doing it. Mm-hmm. And everybody's real nice, because everybody wants you to have an outlet nowadays. They want to show that you have passion somewhere else. That being said, Kyle, do we have more time? Because I want to go into one more aspect, the more technical know-how.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, first off, get something affordable. Blue Yeti mics are good. They're also very temperamental, but they are the safe bet. So go out there, get a Blue Snowball. Get out there, get a Blue Yeti mic. It's like $120 to $50 around there. Snowball, I think $60. Yeti is $120, $150. Yep. Understand they're temperamental. This is great because now you're going to learn how to sound treat your stuff. So make sure you get a pop filter on it. That's the fuzzy stuff on it. Because it's going to catch your T's, your P's, and your that type of stuff. So it's going to make it sound less harsh. Understand as well, I've seen some streamers that have like a million subscribers. They still rock a Blue Yeti. That's how versatile it is. Get acquainted with editing software. So for example, I have a very difficult setup. I do not recommend beginners. Just go with your nice little USB mic. It's going to be simpler. And in the editing software, once you get the gain nice, where like you've practiced with the mic so that you don't sound like you're clipping. And what clipping means is like you sound like you're yelling all the time. It's hurting your ears. And you don't sound too low, like you're whispering in the mic like this. That you're nice and perfect. You sound good. Then you use the editing software to make you sound warm and make you sound with more bass. So what we do here on the Trophy Room is I'm a big fan of presets. So I open up, let's just say, this is what I do, by the way. So I have my files, I put them into Adobe Premiere, and I go to the podcast preset. And the podcast preset makes us sound pretty darn good, pretty darn nice. And there's a little knob where I'll adjust the gain for that preset. And I usually put Kyle to about a 3 and me to about a 2. Because I'm naturally bassier than him. Humble brag. I'm a sick baritone. Then afterwards, I adjust the gain on the file itself. And I play with the gain constantly. So I usually put Kyle to about a 3 and me to about a 2.5. And then I play with the gain dials on top a little bit. Just a little bit. And that's how we sound equal. So like, hopefully if I did it right that week, I sound just as loud as Kyle does, and Kyle sounds just as loud as I do, or very, very close.
You don't want, if you're doing a show with a guest of some sort, you don't want your guests to be louder than you or you louder than your guests. Yeah. It's not a great listening experience.
Also, it helps, like, if the guest doesn't have a good mic, don't just tell people, like, hey, man, so you're from, like, if you're interviewing a developer, that's kind of like they're not going to have, like, a... What this mic is a $500 mic. They're not. They're going to have their headphones.
Ooh, audience. There's your humble brag. There it is.
This is Patreon money. Thank you guys so much. For example, I had a guest and this week, and they were in the office and there was sound. And it caught me off guard because like, it happened all of a sudden. There's someone else with their mic issues. I was just like, Am I listening to The Great Beyond? He's like, oh, is it me? Is it humming? I'm like, yeah, could you find somewhere quiet? If not, it's fine. And they found somewhere quiet. It wasn't a big deal. So just like ask very politely, you know, if they're in a loud area, if you could try to find a nice close area. Nonetheless, you want to sound equal because you don't want the person constantly adjusting the dial because I'm too loud 1 minute and too soft the next. Then I do the editing. Editing's usually easy because the trophy room's about off the cuff. It is about the conversation. It's also about the mistakes because conversations happen, you know. Conversations often come with mistakes as well. Like you misspeak or whatever happens, we usually, unless I say something problematic, which has happened too many times, I'll edit that part out. Or like if there's a cough, like I had a hiccup, but I don't know where that hiccup was, that's going to have to stay in. If we're fighting Jiminy the goddamn cricket, Kyle is aware and Kyle is constantly muting that mic so that Jiminy doesn't come in. How many conversations we have? That's why hopefully by July we have Kyle's mic set up so that it
similar setup. On that note, it is helpful to have pen and paper nearby to write down time codes.
Mm-hmm.
So that way it's easier to find those things and they don't have to be exactly the right time. Just like around this minute and second mark. Yeah. Like then you can scrub through and find it.
Yeah. We don't do it. We should, but, I always forgot. I was every week I'm like, we should do this. And I'm like, I forgot.
No, I'm not talking about like the topics. I mean, just for like,
oh, when editing you mess up?
Mistakes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just like write it down. So that way they're easy to find.
Yeah.
Also, I just had a quick note that I thought of. I don't want to forget about it. If you're having a guest on, always before you start talking to them about whatever the topic is, you know, make sure you know how long you have them for. Anything that is off limits, things that they can't talk about, be aware of that before you go in. Like if you have a set thing, set questions down, and one of them is on that topic, you should know beforehand so that way you can just get rid of it and not have an awkward pause or like ask the question and they say, oh, I can't say that, and that will lead to more editing time.
Yeah.
Like always get to know the guests before you start recording. I feel like that always helps.
I thought you thought I was cutting you off. That definitely helps a whole lot. Like I did this afternoon, I'm like, I told him, hey, listen, I'm gonna tease you about this is it, easy, bat this away from me if you want, or if you want to be a little sensational, you can. And they're like, okay, cool. And you'll see next week when that moment happens, you'll know what it is.
Uh-huh.
Joseph always gets what he wants. oh god, that sounded evil.
They really did.
Always get the nuclear codes. Anyway, nonetheless, and then I edited out the stuff, and usually that is only a few minutes, and then I upload it. Oh, important to note, if you're making a podcast, record in a WAV file when you first upload it to Adobe, because that is the purest, best sounding file. It's also the biggest. So then when you have that WAV file in Adobe, you have it all edited down. That's when you export it as an MP3. Make sure if you're doing a podcast that is under 130 megabytes, because Apple will not automatically upload that podcast if it is above 130. It has to be somewhere in the 100s. That's why I'm always antsy going, we need to get out of here before 2 hours, because that's when the sound quality, I'll have to downgrade the sound quality for the file to be able to fit. And the smaller the file, the better the chances that Apple picks it up and beams it more places. So that's how that little trade. That's a little secret I give you.
If you have a guest on, Joe, what program should you use to record that we have been using for a while now?
Great. $20 a month is the best $20 I've ever spent in my life.
Yeah.
Zencastr does a lot of the editing stuff, like background, like compression, which I haven't even taught you about compression. Oh, no. Shit. Whatever.
Big help with syncing.
Yeah.
Syncing is a big thing when it comes to audio. Make sure that there is no, you know, I say something and then there's a gap before the answer and it feels natural. Zencastr, you hit start recording and they take both sources of audio as their own tracks and start at the same time, end at the same time.
Beautiful.
Such a big relief when it comes to that. Huge. That was one of my least favorite things to do is making sure everything was timed up correctly.
And the one thing that I totally forgot, and now I feel like I'm overloading you with knowledge, is because you don't have one of these fancy mics, there's a whole bunch of like know-how, like EQ, compression, and I don't know it well, but there are a lot of like YouTube start guides that will help you when you're uploading a file with a USB mic that doesn't have those fancy EQ settings, that will help you out, making your thing sound the best. The one thing that I do is I constantly learn. Like, I don't know what EQ is, so I'm going to go to a YouTube channel. I'm going to learn how to make my stuff sound great. And when I mean learn, I mean I've literally taken days, weeks to literally learn the thing and master it. So make sure you go to someone, a professional, your YouTuber extraordinaire, to get those tips as well, because I'm definitely not. And then when you make it, have faith in it. Promote it the best you can. Twitter is okay, but it's not where you're going to get your true traffic from. But like, make sure it's SEO appropriate. Look up SEO, practice it. I'm not going to tell you that. Those are our secrets. But, you know, make sure your title matches the description. Make sure the description has a lot of keywords, but not too many keywords, so that Google doesn't think that you're a bot. And predict what people are going to type. Probably the hardest thing. There you go.
Yeah.
That's what we do every week. I don't know. It sounds like a lot, because it honestly is. But all you have to do is sit down, record that thing, make that thing, be proud of that thing, and put that thing out. And then if you like doing that, add the next step in. If you like doing it still, add the other step in. If you like doing it, add the next step in. If you like doing it, add the next step in.
Honestly, until you have something perfect. The hardest part is hitting that record button for the first time.
Yeah.
And once you're over that, the next hardest part is hitting the go live button. Yep. Once you're done with that, you're golden. You did the thing. No matter how well you think you did the thing, you did it. So to continue doing that, if it's something that you enjoy.
Yeah. Simple. Yeah. Simple, simple. Listen, if you need more help, Green Gorilla, we'll set up like a call sometime and I'll help you. But don't overthink
anybody.
It. Or anybody. Yeah. But don't overthink it, because it's really not that serious. So just go out there and make it. Even if you're on your goddamn, you know how good the acoustics is in a car? You can make videos in your car and you sound good. Sean Capri does a podcast in his car. And he sounds excellent, because acoustics in a car are fantastic. So, yeah. There you go. Oh, that's been the after show. We got real serious. This is serious talk. The last week's after show will be on Friday, and then on Monday is our Real Talk Radio, where we talk about going to the movies. Yeah. It's nice. It's sweet. So with all that said, with all that out of the way, everybody, keep your wits about you. Keep hunting. And we'll see you next week. Okay, I love you, baby.
Bye-bye.